with a group of us to form a preaching team to fill in as needed and kind of lend some different voices to the conversation at the church. Before he left, Chris gave me the option of choosing what I would preach on or having him choose for me. I was born with a bit of a smart mouth, as my family can attest, and I thought I'd freak him out a little bit and told him I was preparing to preach a sermon called Apostle Paul, 10 Things I Hate About You. Chris wasn't shocked, and he didn't miss a beat. Maybe someday I'll take on Paul, but today is not that day. So this morning, I'm going to lend my voice by sharing a part of my story and the way God has worked in my life, even when I couldn't see him. Will you pray with me? May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I just remembered the clicker. Amen. Rookie. Listen to this morning's text. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. When I was a 20-year-old sophomore in college, God disappeared. I started my second year at North Park University, stressed out from a difficult summer at camp, and I spent the fall semester in the practice room working on a difficult song for an audition into a school-wide competition. The closer the audition came, the more I pushed myself. I remember telling a friend that if I didn't make it into the competition, my whole fall would be wasted. I don't remember much about the audition, except that it wasn't my finest performance. I walked on and off the stage as if I had something to apologize for. When the list of people who made it into the competition came out, I waited until nobody was around, and then I walked up to that simple piece of paper taped to the wall. I saw that my name wasn't on the list, and a storm exploded inside me. The voice in my head began, "You failed. You're no good. You're ugly. You will never be loved." What started as an overreaction to the audition spilled out into every area of my life. I had agonizing inner dialogues about simple things like going to class, eating a meal in the cafeteria, or looking somebody in the eye while speaking to them. The voice in my head told me that I was worthless and alone. A world that was once filled with color was now gray and bleak, and I wondered if that would ever change. At night, I walked outside on campus and pleaded with the statue of Jesus that stood near the chapel. Why are you silent when I need you so badly? But I could hear no answer. As a music student, hours of my life were spent in a practice room, and on a college campus, that's really one of the only places where you can be alone. I began to shut myself in my favorite practice room. I would leave the light off and curl up in the 2-foot gap between the piano and the wall and just let my tears fall. In this tiny corner of the world, I tried to talk to God. Where are you? Why are you letting this happen to me? And finally, why are you doing this to me? I could hear no answer. After a lifetime of faith, the idea of God just no longer made sense. I couldn't see him anywhere. I couldn't hear him. I couldn't feel him. He simply wasn't. Things became so dark that I could no longer see a way out. It was a long, silent autumn and then winter. In January, the details of what I was experiencing came spilling out in a phone call with my mom. She was concerned, and she and my dad knew how to get me the help I needed. A psychiatrist, medication, a therapist. Scary words for a 20-year-old who had always been healthy. I discovered that the failed audition was incidental. It was a catalyst to something that was already brewing due to a combination of genetics, stress, and a lifetime of expecting perfection from myself. But my diagnosis of major depressive disorder was the start of my healing. I wasn't crazy. There was a name for it. I wasn't alone. And God had not forgotten me. One day in May, I was walking to the music building, and I noticed that the sky was blue. And with that one small thing, I realized it was going to be okay. Nothing was fixed overnight, but little by little, I began to come alive again. And when the worst of the depression had passed, I was astonished at how the Lord had been taking care of me when I thought he had disappeared. The friend who would invade the sanctity of my dark practice room to sit and tell me stories to get me through the times when I just couldn't keep going. A fellow choir member who wouldn't let go of my hand as I struggled with a panic attack right before a big performance. Professors who responded with grace and kindness when I explained what had really been going on when I missed all those classes, and they let me make up those missed assignments. My parents, who knew how to get me help and who drove 5 hours round trip to bring me home several times when I didn't think I could keep going. The many friends and family members who prayed for me when I didn't think prayer made any difference at all. I couldn't see God, but he was right there anyway. Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. This is a psalm attributed to King David, and I believe with all my heart that David knew depression. And yet he knew God's character and counted on that. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. There is such power in that sentence. I take comfort in the earthiness and honesty of the Psalms. Heartbreak and joy, lament and hope, doubt and faith. Both are part of our journey as humans, and God is present in both, whether we can see him or not. Maybe you, too, have dealt with the isolation and confusion of mental illness. How long, Lord? Maybe you have prayed and worked for reconciliation in a marriage, and it ended in divorce. How long, Lord? Maybe you have struggled to make ends meet and have known the fear of losing the place you call home. How long, Lord? Maybe you have prayed for a child, watching your friends experience the joy of their first, and then their second, and then their third child, and you still are childless. How long, Lord? Maybe you've prayed for healing, and yet that healing just hasn't come. How long, Lord? Maybe you're dealing with something so personal, so painful, I can't even guess. How long, Lord? How long? Asking this question is part of most faith journeys. If part of our human experience is waiting and watching for a God who sometimes doesn't seem to hear us, what can we do during those times? It's easy to become paralyzed. Today's psalm lays out a roadmap for how we can navigate these times. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts day after day, have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Lament. In this psalm, another attributed to King David, he doesn't mince words. He pours out his heart and soul to the Lord. He names his fears. He expresses his confusion. He challenges God to act. When you are in a time of silence or unanswered prayer, cry out to the Lord. As you lament, be honest with God about how you feel. He knows, but as with every close relationship, he wants to hear it from you. God is big enough to handle our sorrow and our anger. We don't have to bring him up the cleaned up Sunday versions of ourselves. Just as a parent wants to know a child's innermost hopes and fears, the Lord longs to know us as we are. However close or far away the Lord feels, tell him how you feel. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Ask. Ask God to show up. If you're at a point where you can no longer believe or ask on your own, invite a fellow believer to ask with you and for you. We are a community of Christ followers, and not one of us has to do this on our own. In my own story with depression, the Lord took care of me through other people who could see him. Take the risk and ask someone to help carry your burden and speak God's truth into your life. But I trust in your unfailing love My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Hope. Even when you cannot yet hope, remind yourself of who God is. He is faithful. Read about God's promises. They are everywhere in the Bible. Remind yourself of how the Lord has come through in the past. Ask someone you trust to share what they see God doing in your life. You may not be able to feel hope yet, but trust that despite what you feel and see, God has not forgotten you. My experience with depression was a mixed blessing. It was a dark and lonely time, but it allowed me to experience God's faithfulness in a way that I will never forget. I learned that even when I can't see or hear or understand him, the Lord is there, and he's at work in my life. I cannot go anywhere from his spirit. I cannot flee from his presence. Wherever I go, he is there. Wherever you go, he is there. Whether we are lamenting, asking, or hoping, he is there. Let's remember this together. Will you pray with me? Lord, on this day of Pentecost, we thank you for sending your Spirit. We thank you that there is nowhere we can go that's apart from you. Amen. As we've heard this morning from the Psalms, the Lord knows everything about us and invites us to this communion meal. We remember on the night when Jesus and the disciples had their last meal together, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks. He gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat, and as often as you do, remember me."